Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, here with Brett Dawson. We are not courtside. We are at a table. Brett's got a little bit of the Terrence Ferguson bug. He and Terrence Ferguson went out drinking and gallivanting too much in Denver.
Partying in D.C. or something?
Partying in D.C. And or Denver.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Like, my body's failing me. I don't feel that bad right now, but I have felt bad today. And, like, I had a cold, and I couldn't quite shake the cold, and now I feel like it's something else. Hopefully it's not, like, the flu or something. I just a little under the weather. No practice tomorrow. You know what, Eric? I need a little time off just to sleep in a little and get up and work at my leisure. And the Thunder also needs a little time off. They need a day off tomorrow.
Yeah, they weren't very good tonight. Final score, 114 to 100. Thunder loses third in a row. This was the worst of them all. You know, the Washington game wasn't great, but this definitely was probably the took the cake. The Denver game, Thunder didn't play any defense, but their offense was at least pretty productive because the Denver doesn't play much defense. And tonight, you know, they didn't have it on either end. They didn't have any offense. Their defense was, again, not great from the three-point line, excuse me. And in that fourth quarter, it just looked like they ran out of gas. Just a ton of turnovers down the stretch. Russell Westbrook had 9 turnovers in the game. In a stretch of games where he really hasn't turned the ball over that much. It looked like tired legs. Russell Westbrook said, nah, he'll never admit it, but – I know this is this team's, what, 6th game in 9 days, 5th and 7?
So, yeah, 6 and 9, 5th and 7, and between every game they change time zones. So there aren't that many time zones, so they weren't a different one every time. But they did change every time, so it was Central, Eastern, back to Central, back to Eastern, Mountain, Central again. That takes a toll. And, I mean, like Russell Westbrook said, no, that wasn't a factor. But that's – Westbrook could literally collapse in the middle of the floor, and after the game he would tell you, like – no, I wasn't fatigued, because he won't admit fatigue. But I think the way to go about that is what Paul George said, which is, look, everybody deals with it. It's not an excuse, because you got to be better than that. You have to play better than that, but it's a thing. Like, it matters.
Look, I mean, you went to Washington earlier this week, and you're beat up.
I'm tired, yeah.
Like, I went to Detroit last week, was up till however o'clock in the morning in Denver last night after that ridiculous game. And then had to come back here, and, you know, I'm feeling it. It's like I'm not sick, but I'm like, you know, I could use a good, you know, 6 weeks of sleep.
Yeah.
So imagine what these guys feel like. Yeah. We didn't play basketball games. And you know, Billy Donovan, he was also up on the podium sick tonight. He had a little bit of gravel in his voice, and he was saying, I'm fine. You know, I just sit here. These guys have to go play games.
Yeah.
Imagine being Terrence Ferguson.
Right.
You're starting in Denver. And you're out with what they called the quote unquote stomach bug.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
In Denver.
Yeah.
With your buddy Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna speculate.
No, he had a stomach bug.
You know, he had a stomach bug. Apparently still not feeling great today. It was a weird thing. Billy Donovan said he could have played again last night in Denver. They could have put him back in, but after he went out with the stomach and all that, they just decided not to play him again. Which was interesting that he told us that he got cleared and they opted not to play him. And they played him again tonight, and he was, again, not particularly good. Defensively, just got a long way to go, Terrence Ferguson.
I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but here's one that just popped up in my head. This will be probably the first and last conspiracy theory from Eric Horn on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We've had this trend of teams shutting players down leading up to the trade deadline. And seeing as how the Thunder doesn't have any first-round picks, Terrence Ferguson would essentially be a first-round pick that they would offer in a trade. What if this quote-unquote stomach bug is
is a
smoke? Kind of some smoke to throw over.
I don't think that's the case, because it did look on TV last night like he felt miserable when he left the floor.
I didn't see that. Somebody said he had a towel over his mouth
something.
Yeah,
he did
like
not
that.
Look good on the bench. And he did not look good leaving the floor on the broadcast. So I don't think that's the case. Now, maybe the other thing is the case that Billy Donovan is or whoever is saying, like, hey, let's roll Alex Abrines out there. Let's try to get him in a little bit of a groove, because we need to get his value up. There's also that possibility.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, just to hit on those, probably the guys who were probably the two best guys on the team for the Thunder tonight, Alex Abrines and Jeremy Grant have both looked really good in their last couple of games. Jeremy Grant looks like Billy Donovan is showcasing him or trusting him to be that guy that runs primarily with the starting unit in place of Andre Robertson. He gave him a little bit of energy in the beginning of the fourth quarter. Alex Abrines, this is first time all season he's had consecutive games of three or more three-pointers. Shot the ball well tonight. Shot the ball well against Denver. Hasn't looked completely inept defensively. Now, he had some quick fouls tonight, but not basically checking into the game and fouling a Luke Kennard 14 right. seconds into the game. You know, last night in Denver, he even had a block. He had a blocked shot last night in Denver. Might have had two.
I think he had two. He had a steal in Washington. So, you know, he's done some stuff. And I do think those guys have value for the Thunder in terms of their trade pieces. Those are going to be two of the better trade pieces that they have. And also, the bench could use those guys to just play well. If you don't end up making a trade, if there isn't anything that ends up presenting itself to you, you could really use those two guys to play well. That's a huge factor for this team because they just, you know, Patrick Patterson is so up and down and looked so bad tonight.
Yeah.
You just need somebody to give you something with that bench unit.
And look, aside from the starting five, Alex Abrines is the next highest paid player on the Thunder. He's making close to $6 billion a year. He needs to be a guy who gets minutes. With Andre Robertson out, he needs to play more. And he needs to produce, and he's done a good job these past couple of games. Now the bar is low for his defense, but he's still been better. And Billy Donovan said, like, you know, the problem hasn't been his on-ball defense so much. It's been, you know, the help, the rotations, and Abrines has gotten a little bit better at that, and particularly with him, you know, having some what Billy Donovan called rim protection, quote-unquote rim protection, but really paint protection, keeping guys out of the paint. And frankly, the entire Thunder's had a problem keeping guys out of the paint because the guys are getting to the paint, they're kicking out, and they're killing them from the three-point line. We've seen the difference with Andre Robertson not in there. Andre Robertson is really good at keeping guys out of the paint and shuttling guys to where he wants them to go on the court. The Thunder's having a big problem of getting players to go where they want them to go on the court right now, whether it's, you know, Russell Westbrook falling asleep on his defensive assignment or just guys getting into the paint and being able to swing the ball around. They're having some issues.
And that's the place, the middle. That's the place the ball is getting that they don't want the ball to get. And that's kind of a basketball universal. You just don't want the ball in the middle of the floor. The ball in the middle of the floor creates problems all over the place because a guy with the ball in the middle of the floor can do anything. He can attack the rim. He can throw a pick and roll lob. And he can fan out the shooters when you come to help. So it's just a mess when that happens, and it is happening too much because that allows that guy to really dictate where the ball goes, and you are trying to push the ball to help.
And when the ball's in the middle, it makes your help defenders or your secondary defenders have to make decisions to suck in, and when they suck in, then the ball kicks out.
Right.
It's a big problem. And the Thunder right now, they look a little bit out of sorts without Robertson. You know, they're able to put together some stretches of good defense, but it doesn't last for very long. And to the opponent's credit that the Thunder have been playing this week, they've played some pretty good offensive teams. And I mean, those are three top 10 to 12 offenses in the league in Washington, Denver, and the New Orleans. Those are all above average offenses in the league.
Yeah, although we should say that two of those teams played without their all-stars, and they built those offenses with John Wall and with DeMarcus Cousins, and they did not have those two guys in those games. So, you know, that's problematic. The Pelicans tonight, I mean, look, a lot of this is the Thunder's fatigue. There is no question, and I'm not trying to give the Thunder a total free pass. They did not play well. But a lot of this was the Thunder's fatigue. There's no question. But the flip side of that, the Pelicans are really shorthanded. You know, they made a significant trade to bring in Nikola Mirotic, and they don't have him yet. So, you know, beyond the fact they don't have DeMarcus Cousins, they don't even have the guy that's going to help replace him. So this was not a full-fledged roster by any stretch of the imagination. The Thunder's fatigue got him, and Anthony Davis played a superstar game, and then they just really broke down defensively on a team that the one thing about that Cousins doesn't, the loss of Cousins doesn't change, you can't leave some of those guys open. You can't leave Etuan Moore and Darius Miller. Those two guys are both at 42% for the year from three.
Yeah, it was just the continual problems of the Thunder's defense, and you know what? There's nothing to get an offense or defense right better than playing the Lakers. And granted, the Lakers have played better since the last time the Thunder seen them, but
not so much without Lonzo. They're not a good team without
Lonzo. Still the Lakers.
Yeah, and Lonzo's not going to play again. He has not played. By the way, Lonzo has not played in the previous two games against the Thunder. He will not play on Sunday. That is not me saying that Lonzo Ball is ducking the Thunder, which Laker fans accused me of saying the other day because I said the fact that he had not played the previous two games either. That's neither here nor there. They are not a very good team.
Oh, internet.
you would expect that this is going to be a game that they should win. Now, weird, weird things happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, and same thing, you know, weird things happen at 8:30, 9:30 at night in the NBA.
That's true, too.
But, you know what? Let's stop talking about this game because it's really a dud. And I guess we can get a little bit into this intrigue that we have on the interwebs right now. The Thunder has reportedly shown interest in Avery Bradley. Our guy, Tim Bontemps, a friend of the podcast, reported for the Washington Post. You know, Andre Robertson going down. The Thunder was clearly going to be seeking some kind of help, whether it was on the wing or in terms of rebounding help for when Steven Adams wasn't on the floor, because the Thunder's offensive rebounding craters when he's not on the floor. But the Thunder was obviously going to be active in the trade market. Sam Presti's always active around this time. They still stand to add another player with their open roster spot once the waiver wire frees up. You know, they could add another player. They could add two players with a trade. But, you know, right now, it seems like the Thunder needs some help in terms of their defense. They can always use more shooting. Every team in the league can use more shooting. And, look, Avery Bradley, he's a guy who has been talked about for some time as a guy that's been admired by Sam Presti, they've been admired by the Thunder. A lot of teams have admired his talents since he's been in the league. And, you know, obviously he'd be a great addition, even though it kind of comes with the hitch that he'd be a free agent to come this summer.
Yep. You know, it's funny. We sort of wrote him off a little, which was a mistake, obviously, when he got traded to the Clippers. But the Clippers, it appears, are looking to tear that thing down to the foundation and start over again, it seems. We'll see if they end up trading DeAndre Jordan and or Lou Williams.
It doesn't appear that the Clippers are committing any money to anyone until they get to go after their big fish.
Right. So it seems that he could be available. It seems that he's a guy who they could move on from. He's going to be a free agent. If they could get some other – I don't know exactly what they would be looking for in return. What's really interesting about Avery Bradley is there are a lot of people who will tell you there are a lot of statistical analyses of Avery Bradley.
Analyses.
That say, you know, his teams the last couple of years have not been as good with him on the floor defensively as they have been when he's been off the floor. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that you can look into that. You can look at, well, some of the time he's playing with Isaiah Thomas in Boston, who's not a good defender.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a lot of different factors that go into that. But I think one of the things, and I think Kevin Pelton maybe wrote, kind of dove into this at ESPN recently. The thing about Bradley is he is very good on the ball. He may not be as good an off-the-ball defender, as good a team defender. But Pelton's theory was if you put him on a good defensive team, a team that has other good defensive parts, he fits that defense pretty well, and the things he can do on the ball are pretty helpful there. So this is a team kind of like that. It's a team that could use another guy who guards the ball. They really could use. I mean, guards will tell you he's a very good defender. They will tell you he's good on the ball. And so a guy like that, I think, is a logical sort of piece. If they could pull something off to do it, and then, you know, two, if they want to do it, based on what you just said, he's going to be a free agent who will command a significant amount of money if there's any team out there with cap space for him.
Well, I mean, at its surface, he's a better perimeter defender than you would have in Alex Abrines, Josh Huestis, and Jeremy Grant. Look, Jeremy Grant's a good perimeter defender, Josh Huestis as well, but you don't want those guys chasing point guards.
Right.
And the situation you're in right now is the Thunder doesn't want Russell Westbrook chasing point guards because, one, he's not going to give the necessary effort to be able to stay in front of point guards, and two, they typically want to hide him on the worst offensive player on the other team so they can save his energy for offense. Paul George, you know, you can sick him on point guards, but right. You ideally want Paul George playing a wing. So he's not having to chase point guards around the perimeter the entire game and get crushed off of screens and whatnot. So Avery Bradley would be a good fit. He'd be a good fit for tons of teams in the league. You know, there's a question about his health. He's missed a good chunk of games, of 60-some-odd games in the past 2 years. He's obviously a better shooter than Andre Robertson, which would be an immediate offensive upgrade.
He's actually a better offensive player than any of those guys that we talked about. I mean, not Paul George or Russell Westbrook, but the other guys. He's better. He's a better offensive player than Abrines or Huston or Grant. Those guys are. They have some offensive skills. This is a guy who's a decent offensive player.
And I haven't looked at his numbers this year, but last year I recall when Russell Westbrook was rebounding really well, I think the next best guard in the league was Avery Bradley in terms of rebound. He's a really good rebounding guard for his
Not
size.
A good one this year. Way down this year, although some of that is where he's playing, because Detroit eats rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a little bit different situation. Their guards aren't required to help as much. But he actually had an outlier season. He had by far his best season last year, 6.1 rebounds a game. So that's a little bit weird. But if you look at it, he's averaged 13, 14, 15, 16 points a game over the last 4 years. So he's – or really over the last five. You know, he's been a really good, solid player. He's a good – he's not a great shooter, but he's gotten increasingly better. I mean, he shot the ball. He shot 38%, 39% last year in Boston. He's shooting 38% this year from three. That's a good piece. If they could do something there, if there's a trade to make there, that's certainly an intriguing piece for them.
You know, and we talked about this before we got on the podcast. And look, this is something the Thunder's going to have to worry about down the line. But the tax implications.
Yeah.
If you bring a guy on like Avery Bradley, who's going to be a free agent, either he's a rental and he walks, which perfectly fine. But the Thunder typically doesn't make deals with the idea that they're going to let guys walk.
Right.
They would either sign him with the idea that they're going to keep him long term, or they sign him with the idea that they can flip him down the line for something
else. Lock him into a number so you know exactly what he is.
Get a set number, a la Victor Oladipo.
Exactly. The Oladipo move. That is the Thunder move.
Yeah. But the tax bill would be presumably astronomical if they were to re-sign him this offseason and they go into next season with a Paul George, Carmelo, who can opt into his deal. They obviously want to make Paul George a priority because he's a youngish 27-year-old that is still rising.
Yeah, like a foundational piece. He's a guy who, like, Paul George can be the second best player on a championship team.
Yeah.
Can Russell Westbrook be the first best player on a championship team? Who knows? We'll see. But that's a great core if you're going to start. The core of Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Steven Adams is a really good core. Now, that is also a very expensive core. And if you have a Carmelo Anthony and you wanted to add another piece to that, now your tax is getting insane on a starting lineup, basically. If you were to get a guy like Avery Bradley, Carmelo opts in, your starting lineup is going to leave you very little room to do anything on your bench.
Yeah, pretty much no room. Now,
a lot of minimums.
Now, here's the catch with Avery Bradley. One, you have his bird rights.
Right.
So you could go over – you can go over the cap to sign him.
But they're already over the cap, so you'd have to. I mean, they would.
So he would have to be a bird rights guy anyway. And two, with the state of NBA market, there's not going to be a massive cap spike again for the foreseeable future. I mean, there was that 1 year. God bless the Golden State Warriors lucked into Kevin Durant sweepstakes. The cap goes up $24 million in one off season. That's not going to happen again. So the Thunder might stand to be able to get Avery Bradley actually at less than you would imagine. Now, it's still going to be a number. I mean, look, Andre Robertson got 10.
Right, and it's going to be a big number because of the tax hit. The tax hit makes it an even bigger number. But that said, there aren't going to be a ton of teams out there who have a lot of cap space this summer. There's going to be some, and probably at least one or two that we don't think right now will find a way to get there. But not very many are, and so the market is going to be kind of interesting. People are still going to be sort of kicking themselves over 2016 and some of the money they spent there.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what kind of deals are getting thrown out this summer. It's going to be fascinating to see what kind of deal Paul George seeks, whether he seeks a short-term deal, whether it's here or elsewhere. Because if he seeks a short-term deal, and that could change the way that the Thunder looks at things. But, you know, they've got Steven Adams and Russell Westbrook signed long-term. Otherwise, there aren't a lot of long-term commitments on the Thunder aside from, you know, a couple of years. You know, and Alex Abrines, who might be out the door.
Right.
Jeremy Grant and Josh Huestis are unrestricted free agents this summer.
Patrick Patterson's locked in for a couple years.
Third year's an option.
Another year. Yeah, that's right.
Player option, I think.
You got another year of Kyle Singler right now if you don't do something.
You know, Raymond Felton and Collison are on one-year deals. Yep. Presumably you bring in a guy who gets waived who would be on a veteran's minimum one-year deal. So there aren't a lot of long-term commitments on the Thunder, but the payroll next year stands to be very high if the guys that the Thunder wants end up coming back.
Right. Now, I mean, if you're the Thunder, would you maybe be okay with Carmelo Anthony opting out? Would you maybe be okay with Carmelo Anthony opting out in order to re-sign here for a couple of years at a little less money, at significantly less money than that 1 year? Is that something you might consider doing? Is that something he might consider doing? We don't know any of those things right now. And so those are big questions. There's so many. They're going to have an enormous series of questions about what they're spending and how much they're willing to go into the tax. I think they'll spend in the tax. There's going to be a bunch of teams in the tax. They're going to be one of them. They're going to go into the tax. It's just a matter of how far into it they're willing to go. And I think they're willing to go as far as they have to for Paul George. It's just a matter of all that other stuff. So this is going to be a fascinating – this is going to be a really interesting week to just see what they end up doing, whether it's – whether they can make a play for Avery Bradley. And by the way, if the Clippers are willing to flip Avery Bradley, they won't be the only team trying to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. There are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be looking to get a guy like Avery Bradley. You know, Houston might be in the running for an Avery Bradley type because Houston – you know, had to lose Lou Williams in order to get Chris Paul. What if Houston says they want to go after him? Cleveland obviously needs help.
Right.
Defensively particular.
Yeah.
In particular, Cleveland needs help with Isaiah Thomas just basically being, you know, mouse in the house as our friends at Fox Sports would say.
Correct.
But it's gonna be a really interesting week. I expect I'll go out to Golden State and LA. And all the rumblings will be happening, and some things will go down. And
nice that the Thunder play a road game on trade deadline day.
Oh yeah,
always fun.
I'm sure that'll be fun.
They actually don't have any control over that. If the Thunder had any control over the schedule tonight, it would never have happened.
What if they trade for a Lakers player on deadline day, and that Lakers player, like, just basically just walks across the hall? And
come on
like,
over, Jordan Clarkson.
Hey, Julius Randle.
Yeah, why not?
Have a ball. Come on, Alex Caruso.
Welcome back,
Alex Caruso.
That would be an odd one. That's Tuesday at the Warriors, right?
And then Tuesday at the Warriors.
Back to every other day.
Thursday in L.A. And then who knows
then
who they
a little
play.
Gap. It's the Grizzlies on Sunday, so they do have a little.
Ah, the Grizzle.
They get a little break there.
Ah, the Grizzle.
Grizzle.
Who's one guy that you're intrigued about? Outside of the Avery Bradley, Avery Bradley land, I'm intrigued about at this trade deadline that could fit the Thunder.
I love the name Jonathan Simmons. That's just like a name that's intriguing. I don't know what his availability is going to be. I don't know what the asking price there would be, but I do think he's an interesting guy in terms of the way he defends. He can make a three. You know, it's not gone great for him. So I could see him as an option. I'm intrigued by the idea of there's a couple Hawks I'm sort of intrigued by, you know, just like Kent Bazemore is a guy who might be on the market, might be available. Is he a guy?
He is making a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. He got paid. Marco Bellinelli, obviously, is like a guy whose name just keeps kind of floating.
Now,
out
he
there.
Is not making a lot.
Yeah.
But he also has a tendency to not play defense. Now, he can fill it up.
Yeah,
he can fill it up.
Yeah, he's a different sort of guy in terms of, like, if you could go out and get a guy like Simmons or you could go out and get a guy like Bradley, you're not getting those things in Bellinelli. That's not a comparable piece. You'd be getting a guy who's, like, a better version of what Abrines gives you.
How would you feel about – well, my guy personally is Garrett Temple, a little bit older guy. I think he's got a year left on his deal at a pretty good number. Can shoot the three a little bit. Think he's shooting about 35-36% this year. Obviously not a Robertson who is a little bit more size than Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
And
that's an intriguing one.
And he's just a good pro. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Not that Avery Bradley's not a good pro, but I think obviously Avery Bradley's a better player, but I think Garrett Temple might be a more gettable player.
Yeah.
If you that makes sense.
You know a guy who makes no sense at all, but I wish would come here? Is Vince Carter.
Yeah, I just want his presence.
Me too. It just would be fun.
If he got bought out,
Yeah.
And he wanted to come be that last guy.
Yeah.
By all means.
Yeah.
Because look,
I think he wants to play more probably than he might play in this situation, even if he were a guy sitting out there available. But, man, it would be fun. It would just be a fun thing.
Let's be realistic. Like, the Thunder's not winning the championship.
Right.
And even with Andre Robertson, it was going to be a stretch for them to get out of the second. Like, with Andre Robertson, I think they'd win a first-round series.
Yes.
I still think they could win a first-round series.
Yeah. But I think with Robertson, depending on the matchup, a second-round series wasn't out of the question. Like, I think with Robertson, if this team was sort of the team it was over that eight-game stretch we just saw, they could scare Houston. That's a team could give Houston problems.
Yeah, they could push Houston. I even think, I'm not going to go that far. I think they could get two games off of Golden State.
Yeah.
If they can get two home games.
If they played at their best and Robertson was there and they were really locked in, yeah, for sure.
But that would be max.
That's what you're talking about. You're talking about a team that, can win a couple games off the eventual champion. That's what this team – that was always kind of what the peak of this team would be. Now, if they had Robertson – even if they had Andre Robertson, even with a healthy Andre Robertson, I don't think there's a trade they could go make that sort of pushes them over the top, because it's not like they can go get Anthony Davis. Like, there's not a guy out there who they can get and would give them that edge.
And even with their starting lineup playing at its best, I don't think there was a piece that they could go get that would make their second unit better than a shortened Warriors second unit. Like, even the guys that are going to hypothetically get like their minutes cut in a playoff series with the Warriors are still going to be pretty good players. Like, Jordan Bell is a really good rookie for the Warriors, and he's going to be their seventh, eighth guy in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they've got such good pieces. I was watching a little bit of their game tonight, and you just forget about like Omri Caspi's existence.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's a real good player.
Nick Young can hit a three. We're talking too much about the Warriors, whatever. But it was going to be tough for the Thunder to get out of a second-round series, even with Andre Robertson this year. But I think that looking toward the future, the Paul George thing is going to be if they can get a commitment from Paul George, if they somehow feel confident that they can get Paul George back for at least a year, I think that next year – is going to be a big-time season for the Thunder. And, look, it's still going to be difficult because you don't know what kind of Andre Robertson you're going to get back.
Right.
And you don't know if he's probably not going to be ready for camp, to be honest with you. And it's going to take him some time to get back into a rhythm.
Because it's like a six-month.
Yeah.
They talk about it in terms of 6 months.
He's probably not going to be doing a lot of stuff once camp starts in September. I mean, he'll probably be with the team back, but he's not going to be 100%.
Right. And Billy Donovan talked about that today. Like, it's a long way from, like, he's not going to be around the team for a long time.
Yeah.
I talked to a sports medicine, a doctor last week who said it's going to be 6 weeks of just basically no mobility. He's just not going to move.
Man.
Fun times.
Went from the highest of highs of the Thunder season to the, I will dare say lowest of lows.
Eight and 12.
Yeah, you've seen lowest of lows. You've seen Sacramento. Yeah, you've seen Sacramento on the road. Anyway, we've gone nice and long today. It's time to go to sleep. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, Brett Dawson over there. We will see you on Sunday after the Lakers game. We'll try and make it nice and snappy that day. We'll spread the message to Russell Westbrook as well because the Super Bowl is on that day.
Yeah, we would like to get out of here.
Yeah, 1 o'clock start on Sunday. Don't forget. Trade deadline on Thursday. Thunder's obviously going to be making a move. Don't at us asking what it is, because when it happens, we'll write about it and we'll let you know.
Keep your screenshots to yourselves, people. I don't need your trade machine screenshots. You can send them to me if you want. I'm just not paying much attention to them.
We should make a trade machine collage and like put like and make like ornaments out of them and put them on the trees in the Cox Center.
That's an excellent
idea.
During
Christmas. So everybody can come and look at the trade the trade machine ideas.
Yeah, all the dead trades.
Dead trades.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even going to expand on that, what we just said. Thanks again. We're rambling. Have a good night.